This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, I think it just goes back to the fact that they drafted me, you know, straight out of college, took a chance on me. So, you know, I'm always going to give them first dibs when it comes to, you know, things like that, out of respect.
Ronnie Stanley talking about the Ravens being his priority when before he signed with them this offseason. This was before free agency opened, and we saw some serious money going to the lesser offensive linemen than what Ronnie Stanley got from the Ravens. But as we talked about the lead up to this, Jason, I think comfort was very important to Ronnie Stanley.
No doubt about it. Ronnie's a pretty cerebral guy. Ronnie's a guy who has a lot of interest outside of football. Ronnie's a guy who I think comfort with the coaching staff, comfort with the level of expectations through the offseason and the work week, comfort with his injury history, comfort with the people who will be helping him manage himself from a medical standpoint through the season, comfort with the geography, comfort with you know, just the lifestyle, the part of the country, comfort from friends, support staff outside of the building. I think all that stuff really mattered. Look, at this stage of his career, he's not going to Jacksonville for the money. He's not pulling a Clowney and going to Carolina for the money. He was going to go somewhere he could win. And could he have made more in New England? Absolutely. Could he have made a little bit more in Kansas City? Probably. But again, I said it before, I'll say it again. Hat tip to DaCosta and Harbs and I don't know, Nick Mattio, if he was involved in it. It's probably more DaCosta and Harbs. The people who were able to take a negative, a tough situation for Ronnie Stanley contractually last year and leave it on good enough terms that not only is he willing to still hear you out a year from now, he's willing to take less to come back. To have left it from a conversation human level and to have played it right with him through the course of the year to where he's not saying, F you, I'm going to go get my money somewhere else. Yeah. I just paid for, you know, I just gave you four times the productivity for what you paid me last year. Not holding that against them, but wanting to double down on it.
Yeah, it speaks to the relationship that Ronnie has with those guys. It speaks to the relationship that Ronnie has with the organization as a whole. And when DaCosta made those comments at the scouting combine, basically saying that a deal was going to happen, that's when I initially thought, Ronnie wants to be here. And if the numbers are at least close, Ronnie's going to want to continue to be a Raven because of the comfortability.
More from Ronnie Stanley speaking to the media yesterday. He talks about his 2024 season, his goals for 2025.
I was happy with the way I played. I was specifically just like, I think, just my mindset that I had throughout the whole year. I think that's what was probably the thing that made me the happiest. I thought I played well. You know, I still think I can play better, and, you know, that's just how I am. But I do think there's a lot to improve on, just getting stronger, smarter, understanding the game more, better footwork, all the little things. And I think that's what's allowed me to play for as long as I have is, you know, I just, there's always little things that can get better. And, you know, those things add up, and then, you know, people are looking like, oh, he's doing something crazy, but it's really just the little things.
Jason, I think he's being a little modest. He said he was happy with 2024. 2023 ended with him rotating a tackle with other dudes. Like, and then he comes out in 2024 and played at a
high
level.
There were points in time in 2023 when I think all of us were convinced that Patrick McCary might be the best guy to get them through the next game.
Yes.
Not saying he's the better left tackle in totality, but the way Ronnie was playing, maybe put Ronnie on ice for 2 or 3 weeks, go with McCary, and then reassess.
And they can say what they want, but if I gave them truth serum, they tell us that they weren't confident Ronnie Stanley was going to be their left tackle at the end of last season when it started. And look at how it ended.
Now look, I'm also not going to tell you that we might not be talking in the middle of next season. Like, hey, we understand why they did what they did with Ronnie, but it was a risk, and here comes ankle, shin, whatever, ankle bone connected to the shin bone type problems for Ronnie Stanley. Foot.
Something that was so massive for him last year after the season, because obviously the play, it wasn't where it should have been, but he didn't have to undergo any surgeries. He could rehab, he could work out like normal. He participated in all the OTAs, all the mini camps. Every single training camp practice. We haven't seen Ronnie Stanley practice that consistently probably since prior to the first ankle injury in the 2020 season.
Ronnie Stanley, speaking to the media yesterday, says it's the players. They're the reason he re-signed with the team.
I think my decision to come back, I think the players for sure had the biggest role to do in that. The locker room and the type of players that we have, including Lamar. And I was talking to Lamar a lot, but not about contracts. But me and Lamar, we talk all the time. But, he never really brings that stuff up. I never really brought that stuff up to him when he was going through his deal. I think we just talk more like brothers, you know. So, we talked through the whole process, not once about contracts. But the players are definitely the biggest driver of why I like being in Baltimore.
He likes it here. He likes his teammates. He's also, I was talking to someone last week, and they gave me a word about him that I never thought about. Leader. He's becoming a leader on this football team, especially with the rest of the offensive line, which is young.
Oh, I mean, he's, especially with McCary gone now, I mean, he's it.
Yep.
I mean, Linderbaum is now going into his fourth season, a veteran, but I mean,
Still on his rookie deal.
I mean, yeah, it's Ronnie Stanley is the dean of that group, and it's not even close. And I mean, will they bring in the kind of guys, the Jones and who was the left guard the year before that?
Oh,
Simpson. Will they bring in a guy like that? I mean, they will, but like, no, this is Ronnie. It's Ronnie's unit.
Without question. It's a bunch of younger guys, and especially heading into last year where a lot of them didn't have a ton of starting experience. Where Daniel Falele, pretty much a new position for him at guard. Rosengarten was a rookie. And McCary, who he's played all along the offensive line, been there, done that. But, yeah, Stanley, he was the elder statesman.
More from Ronnie Stanley. He says there's unfinished business for the Ravens.
We've broken so many records last however many years. I don't think we really care about it, to be honest, especially the guys that have been here. I think the only thing we really care about is winning a Super Bowl. So, yeah, all that other stuff for sure is nice and all. But, yeah, definitely unfinished business. I don't think anyone's really happy.
It's interesting to say, and he says it out loud, like, we've broken a bunch of records, but like, it's not about that anymore. I don't care. We want to win when it matters.
I mean, it's all about meeting postseason expectations. That is the only way that they are judged individually, really. I mean, it's not the only way they're judged individually, but I mean, that's the ultimate decider. That's the ultimate standard for all of them now. And they can remain in the class of very good NFL teams, or they could become great, and you become great by winning three or four times in a row in the playoffs.
You can think about it from Ronnie Stanley's perspective, too, when we talk about it with Lamar all the time, individually, and obviously Ronnie's an offensive lineman, but he's been to Pro Bowls. He's been a first-team All-Pro. He hasn't been to a Super Bowl. He hasn't won a Super Bowl. Like, that's the thing that's driving him at this point.
Coming up next here on the program, let's stay in the division, but not the Ravens, Northern Exposure. And Joe Burrow got them to open up the checkbook. T. Higgins, Jamar Chase, I think there's a presser happening in about 20 minutes. Our thoughts on that? What's going to happen with Trey Hendrickson? And what does this mean for the Bengals? It's Northern Exposure next here on The Fan. The Bengals did it, or at least they're about to do it, as they are signing both T. Higgins and Jamar Chase to extensions. Jamar Chase is going to be the highest paid non-quarterback in football, making over $40 million a year. And T. Higgins is going to make close to $30 million a year. So first and foremost, Jason, how did they get Mike Brown to open up the checkbook, something he's been reluctant to do essentially forever?
I mean, there have been points in time where I can remember when Geno Atkins was becoming one of the best D tackles in the league, and that was a young defense still under Marvin Lewis that was starting to develop pass rushers and had one of the best D lines in the league. Pecco was becoming a force, and you wondered, would they keep it together? And they did. He also paid two corners at the same time a long time ago that I didn't think he would do, and used the franchise tag to keep him. So it's not like he's never done it, but it has been rare. And take Mike Brown out of it, there are just arguments to be made about if you're going to be, in general, a back half of the league spending team, does it make sense to have this much cash and cap locked up in two positions? Because essentially quarterback and wide receiver, I mean, it's a lot. I mean, it's significant. And part of the reason you pay a receiver what you paid, or pay a quarterback what you pay Joe Burrow, is you're going to help us develop guys.
Yes.
We don't need a $40 million receiver and a $30 million receiver when we have Joe Burrow. So it's a little odd to me, because I don't like them in the trenches. So that's a problem. I mean, the offensive line has been an issue there for years. I don't see how they're going to get better there. It's for the first time in a long time, people aren't raving about this offensive line in the draft. So it would be a weird time to try to meet that challenge. They also need help at all three levels on defense. And they had games last year where they were unstoppable on offense, and they still lost because they were even worse on defense. I think it's a odd way to build your football team. And it's essentially 2 years. You got Higgins for 2 years. Higgins ain't going to be here after 2 years if you really look at that contract. So you've got 2 years to try to win it this way. I don't buy it. When the Bengals had their best season that they've had in 30 years, to me, it was primarily because they had the best second half defense in the NFL. And it didn't matter what happened in the first half of these games. They had Joe Burrow at the helm, who's unflappable. And they had a defense that made cunning adjustments that changed the game, that shut down Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and Arrowhead to allow your offense to win. Like, that was it. And when it let up in L.A., they lost the game. Yeah. Now, they got some bad calls against them, too. Some shady PI calls in that Super Bowl that was played in the Rams Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the equation that worked. It wasn't first team to 50 wins.
You look at that whole playoff run. I think they played the Raiders in the first game where they had a defensive stand at the goal line to win that one. Then the Tennessee game, the critical turnovers they forced.
Didn't Joe Burrow get hit like 19 times in the Tennessee game?
He was sacked the most amount of times in a playoff game, I believe. He tied it at least. And coming up with the big plays against Mahomes, it was the defense that led them to that Super Bowl.
And if I'm going to believe what I read, they're going to get a deal done with Hendrickson as well. And then it's like, well, who's playing every other position if you're going to have four massive contracts like this?
Look, it can be done. And I'm not telling you that like the Bengals are going to be pushovers. But we can look at the Rams, and the Rams had a star-studded team, and they were top-heavy when they won it. They had also done a better job drafting what was left of those draft picks. Everybody said F them picks, but they made the most of what they had. Mm-hmm. Howie Roseman, yes, we can talk about all the money he spent. We have on this show. He's also, like, destroyed the draft, like, three straight years. The Bengals haven't done that. Part of the reason the Bengals can do this is the only guys that they really have drafted that they want to extend are the quarterback and two receivers.
Yeah.
Nobody on defense Hendrickson, who's at the end. There's no ascending young players on their rookie contracts who you'd be like, oh, I got to have him.
Yeah, and they didn't even draft Hendrickson. They brought him in. They
brought him in late in his career.
Yeah. So if you're building a 7-on-7 team, then yeah, maybe it's prudent to pay the two wide receivers. But they have so many holes on this football team. They're going to score some points, but they're going to give up a lot of points.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I just think there's other ways you can. It's about the allocation and reallocation of resources. And I don't think this is going to pay off the way that they would. And I just think it's wild. They're taking victory laps in Cincinnati, like fans and the media, and look what he did. Morons, he could have done the same thing two years ago.
Got him cheaper.
Then you actually could have built around them. Like, if they are this good and this generational, they all should have been paid right after year three.
Yeah, this is more
from the hell did we get the two franchise tags for T. Higgins for?
This is more like how the Cowboys extend their guys than how smart teams do it. Like, look at what they did with Dak and with CD, like, and what they're doing right now with Micah Parsons.
If it didn't take Joe Burrow 3 years to get this guy to do the right thing, you might have more of a real roster.
GM Joe Burrow.
Yes.
He I'm convinced he's the guy that got this done. Started talking about cap and going on every single media outlet he could to explain how to do it. And I think the owner and Duke Tobin probably told the owner, like, look, we have to do this. He knows you can't not do it.
Yes. Agreed. You kind of shamed him into it.
So what are they, the second best team in the AFC North, assuming health?
I mean, they are, but like last year, who was the second best team in the AFC East? Like, I was at Miami. Yeah. I don't even remember how it played. I guess because, the Jets and the. But I mean, like, it's like that. Like, this league still ultimately balance in the trenches, balance offense, defense, special teams, being able to win games with a multitude of game scripts and a multitude of templates to me sets the truly elite teams apart. And again, this is the first team to 40 or first team to 42 or first team to 45. I don't know that that's going to play. I especially don't know that it's going to play against some of these better teams in this conference, the better conference, when you have to go on the road in January. Because if you're telling me they're the second best team in this division, guess what? They're playing nothing but road games in January.
Yeah.
And it puts so much pressure on the offense. You think of what the Ravens went through the first 10 weeks of last season, where they needed to score that many. And if the offense isn't on, you're not going to have a good shot at winning.
And even the offense. Let's see their starting five offensive linemen come the first weekend of September. Let's look at that depth
chart. See how much Joe Burrow gets hit.
Ball's coming out fast.
Yeah, it will. Hey, coming up next, Ravens have made some moves in the last week since the last we talked to Rita Hubbard. Plus, we're getting closer to opening day, and Terps play on Friday. Remember, you can hear their game against Grand Canyon right here on 105.7 The Fan, beginning with pregame coverage at 3:30. Rita Hubbard joins us next here on The Fan. It's Tuesday. It's a perfect time to talk to our friend Rita Hubbard, who joins us every Tuesday. And she joins us courtesy of the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. And Rita, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it. I think we've spoken in the past couple of weeks, and we've asked you about the Ravens and their backup quarterback situation. And the Ravens made a move to improve that a couple of days ago. I think announced it on Sunday, made it official today. Cooper Rush. What do you think of Cooper Rush?
I like Cooper Rush. I mean, I think he's a good backup. You know, I've seen, unfortunately, the Cowboys is quote-unquote American team, right? So we got to watch Cowboys games all the time. And then we got to sit there and even when they're bad. So with their quarterback going out, Cooper Rush obviously had to play. So I've seen Cooper Rush in action pretty often, actually. And I think that, this is a good signing for them. I think, as much as I like Josh Johnson, I felt like in the preseason, There were some limitations that he had from a throwing perspective, and that was something that they were going to have to do in the offseason, which was upgrade. And I do think that, in my opinion, Cooper Rush is an upgrade to Josh Johnson from a passing perspective. Obviously, he's not going to be more elusive with his legs. But, you know, listen, everybody, you can't keep bringing everybody in that's going to be similar to Lamar. And you can also potentially develop guys like Emory Jones if that's what you're looking for later. So I think for now, I think that this is a good signing. I see people complaining about the money that he got, but I'm confused. What do y'all think backup quarterbacks cost? Yeah. If they're decent backup quarterbacks, I'm good. Like, did you think that they was just all going to be veterans minimum? It just doesn't work that way. So I think it's fine.
What did you think of the DeAndre Hopkins signing, Rita?
What's funny is that broke while me and Glenn were on, and I thought it was a joke. I kept looking at the TV, and I was like, look, but we were on air, so he couldn't, like, really, like, at that moment take it in, and I had to tell him. And so, you know, look, I think we got a little bit of excited, and by excitement, I mean he's absolutely an upgrade from Nelson Aguilar, and that's no disrespect to Nelson Aguilar because, you know, he had moments where he came in clutch, right? But DeAndre Hopkins, to me, is a different caliber type of guy. And so I know a couple years ago we really wanted this to happen, but I think everything happens for a reason. And I say that because you have a one and a two, and there's no doubt about it. Whereas if he'd have came in a couple of years ago, I think we'd been having more conversations about who you would be considered a two, whether it was him or Bateman or whatever. I don't think that there's any question at this point. You know who your number one guy is. You know who your number two guy is. And I think that DeAndre Hopkins, even at this juncture in his career, is a solid number three. Guy can still catch. Guy can still run great routes. I love it. I don't know why people have a problem with it. I guess they think that he's old, which, I mean, yes, you're not getting prime DeAndre right. Hopkins, right? But what do you want to do? I got two questions. One, do you think he's an upgrade from Nelson Aguilar? The answer is yes. Okay. And two, when Zay Flowers went down, who did you feel more comfortable with taking his place, Nelson Aguilar or DeAndre Hopkins? And if both of those answers are DeAndre Hopkins, then it's a solid pickup.
I'm with you wholeheartedly, Rita. Can we ask for a little bit of something on the defense, or is that, you think that's a bridge too far, or is that fair?
Mean,
is that valid, or listen, should we just take what we got and be happy with it?
Nah, some guy. You need some depth for real, particularly in the back end. I mean, there's guys still available. I mean, you got like a Justin Simmons, I think, mm-hmm. is still out there. I think Zadarius, although I'm not really sure if that's something. If you got, you know, if you got played by Zadarius before, I don't know if you ever going to go back to that. I know I wouldn't. That's just me. But maybe, you know, maybe people swallow their pride sometimes, and that's just kind of how that goes. I wouldn't trust that situation just because of how it happened the last time. But you got guys available, and I do think that they will. But I think when you start looking at the roster overall, there's a lot of places where they could potentially use some depth. Obviously, the back end is one of them. Offensive line is another one. But I have faith that they will absolutely continue to bring guys in, continue, you know, because the Ravens don't do necessarily one and two day of free agency deals. They always wait till later, right? So we get antsy because we see everybody else making moves. And then usually they'll say, okay, we're going to keep bringing in guys that are currently available. So I think that they know that there's a need there in terms of depth, and I think that they'll do it.
We're talking with Rita Hubbard. It's Inside Access here on The Fan. Rita, the Terps play on Friday against Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
You fired up for that. And I know you're a Florida football fan, so does that extend to basketball as well? Because they could meet in the Sweet 16.
I know. I hate that it's in the bright. No, I'm not necessarily a Florida basketball fan, but because I root for their football team, I see a lot of their stuff, if that makes sense, because I follow, like, their accounts, right? So I see a lot of their basketball stuff. I am a Terrapin basketball fan. I will say that. Yeah, I ain't been on the wagon for a while because they ain't give me a reason to. But I'm back on the wagon. They're getting some local talent, which is really what I wanted all this time anyway, for me to really, like, get reinvested in Maryland's basketball. So, you know, yes, it sucks because Florida's the 1 seed, Maryland's the 4 seed, but I'm not worried about that right now. Look, Maryland has an opportunity here to be one of the better teams that we've seen from this program in a very long time. I'm excited for them. I'm rooting for them. I just really hope that they find an opportunity. And look, if they meet with Florida, I'm picking Maryland. That being said, if Florida wins, I'd be like, oh, okay, that's cool. But I'm rooting for Maryland regardless at the end of the day.
Rita, 9 days away from Orioles taking on the Blue Jays in Toronto. Oh. And, you know,
Are we outside opening day, though? That's the better
question. No,
the dome might be closed. I don't know.
We know we always say take spring training with a grain of salt, but Sir Anthony Dominguez really, really struggling, Rita, and we know that they're going to slow play Felix Bautista, so Dominguez is going to see a lot of save, high-leverage situations. Are you concerned with him heading into the season?
Yes. And look, maybe he's just trying to figure some stuff out. Maybe this is about, you know, him just trying to tune up some pitches so it's not that deep, but you can't feel confident with what you've seen, and you need to come up with some other options at this point. And also, look, if it is Dominguez, right, your hope is that this is not a long-term situation. Bautista eventually is going to find his way back within the next couple of weeks, so this is just, you know, a plug-and-play type situation. But, yes, you should be concerned. But this was always the concern that fans had to begin with in terms of the depth from this roster, not only from a starting perspective, but from the mid and, you know, later innings perspective. So, you know, this is what happens when you don't really do what you should be doing in that regard. And maybe it's because they were overconfident that Bautista was going to be ready by opening day. But I just think when it comes to Tommy John's, you really have to be careful about putting deadlines on people and things, because it doesn't necessarily always have to be when you think it's going to be. It's gonna heal on its own time. So hopefully this is just a temporary thing. And by temporary, I literally mean like 2 to 3 weeks, and then we won't be having this conversation. Because anything longer, we definitely should be concerned.
Rita, when are you and Glenn back?
Next week. So we will be back next week. I will be watching our book club documentary. What was it called? Sweet Baby?
Yeah, it's this catfish. It's something.
It's something. Is it better than Aunt? Is it better than Aunt?
That's a very low bar.
Aunt Diane. I mean.
Yeah. Everything's better than Aunt Diane.
Okay. All right. I knew you was going to have to say that. So I'll be watching the catfish joint. And I guess, Penn, you didn't sound too excited about it, so I guess we'll
No, I liked it. I liked it.
I haven't seen it yet, Rita.
Tim, remind Ken who's responsible for the snack.
Ken is.
Week, yeah.
Ken is.
Yeah.
Okay, remember?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll take care
All
of
right.
it. Thanks, Rita.
All right, thank you, friend. All right, guys. Talk to you later.
Coming up next, some bounce back, fall back. Bone asks us questions, we answer. That's next here on The Fan.
All right, let's look back to last week. Maryland shot just 12 threes in their first matchup against Illinois. Miguel Gillespie and Rice each hit one. There will be a Terp to hit 3 threes against Illinois. Both you guys bounce back. Jason, you said Seldon, Rodney, and Gillespie
three for three.
All hit three or more. You also said I did a little meditating on my Tempur-Pedic mattress. Meditated in zero gravity position.
Did it again today, Bone. And let me tell you, mattresswarehouse.com. Get yourself there. It'll change your life.
Rodney Rice was the only one to hit 3 threes. He hit seven.
He hit seven.
By himself. Seldon was 0 for 4. Gillespie hit 2 threes. Both of you guys bounced back. Julian Reese, Derek Queen combined for 52 points in the first matchup. They combined for 35 points or more. They did not 29 points, but both of them played 25 or less minutes.
What did I say, 27? I believe I said 27.
Or excuse me, 29. You said 27, correct. You had Julian, 14, Queen, 13. Queen had 19, Julian had 10. They played 44 combined minutes. Both you guys fell back. Rodney Rice scored 8 points and was the only starter not in double figures in the first matchup. The whole crab five scores 10 or more points. They did not. Seldon Miguel was the only one not in double digits.
Geronimo had double digits, though.
That's true.
I said the crab five.
He'd be the crab six.
Yeah.
Both you guys bounce back. Jason, you said...
The crustacean six.
You said all would score 13 or more.
I did.
Terp scored the season average of points of 82. They scored 88. Jason, you said 83. Ken, you bounced back as well. Maryland advances to the championship on Sunday. They did not. They lost to Michigan. Both you guys bounced back. Jason, you said they will win the Big Ten tournament. Beat Sparty 67-64.
Sparty didn't get there either.
Mm-mm. Duke covers the 7.5-point spread against Carolina. They did not. They won 74-71. Jason, you said they win by double digits.
Shoulda.
Ken, you fell back.
Yeah.
Purdue covers the 2.5-point spread against Michigan. They did not.
No.
They got blown out 86-68. Michigan won that one. Both you guys bounced back. Clemson covers the 1.5-point spread against Louisville. Louisville won that game outright 76-73. Jason, you bounced back. Said Clemson wins by 5 points or more. Ken, you fell back.
Yeah, I liked Pat Kelsey.
Alabama covers the 7.5-point spread against Kentucky. They did in a big way. 99-70. Ken, you fell back. Mm-hmm. Jason bounced back. Ken ended up winning by one. Let's get to this week. And with the playing games, we're
no more Swanton Rogers.
No more Swanton Rogers.
Cowboys done.
No more Jonathan Lamoth.
We do have...
You know what? Swanton Rogers, is he in... ODU could be in one of these Fugazi tournaments. Might be something to look into for Friday.
They're not in the crowd.
Although that would have already happened. Yeah. What is? Isn't there one like CGI?
CBI.
Right? CBI.
Isn't that we got the crown?
CBI, what you rub on your body for pain? And
I don't know. CGI is like computer animation or something. Yeah. So you got the NIT.
Mm-hmm.
You got the crown.
The crown.
And the crown is exclusive to certain conferences, I believe. Mm-hmm. And then you got the CGI.
The CBI,
so Swan Ride, the Cowboy might... Cowboy might not. He might get one last ride, Bone.
Let's start with the first four before we get to some of Thursday's action. North Carolina covers the 4.5 points against San Diego State tonight, Ken. And by the way, you're going to hear all the action on 105.7 The Fan. You're going to hear all the first
what
four games.
What else would you rather listen to than Alabama State basketball?
Hey, let me tell you. Then you got Carolina afterwards. Yeah. Carolina State.
I made the mistake of watching Alabama State play twice this year, and I wanted to gouge my eyes out.
Jeez.
Not just because I was on the wrong side both times. Oh, that did have something to do with it.
I don't think Carolina deserves to be here, but I think they win and they cover.
Mm. I'm with my fine feathered friend on this one. I like the under. I don't love it. I like it. I think Kakalaka wins.
Tomorrow, Mount St. Mary's plays. American, 2.5-point favorites against Mount St. Mary's. American covers that spread, Jason.
Now, do we get that game, too?
Yes, we
get the Westwood one on that. Well, I'm just saying.
Pay attention, Jason. Well, we got all the games.
I mean, Matt, but I mean, I'm just saying that's a local, and they've got, like, our buddy Adam Pohl does their. I mean, there's no interference there.
We'll have the Westwood one.
It's super sick, because we can do that for NFL, if it gets to a certain point, it's the same
rules. And we've done it for the Orioles.
Yeah, we have done it for the Orioles. That's correct.
So what do you want to know here? Does the Mount win?
Cover so that they win. American wins.
I'm going to say the Mount wins outright. How's that?
That's a fallback.
How about them apples, Bo?
Fallback. Mount wins outright. Ken?
I'm sorry. All those questions. I got the
American 2.5-point shoot spread. They cover that 2.5 points against Mount St. Mary.
My buddy Dave Coyne is a Mount grad, so for that reason, I will fall back.
Okay. Let's get to Thursday's games. Purdue, 8.5-point favorite against High Point. They cover that, Ken.
Purdue, 8.5 on High Point. I'm going to fall back.
Fall back. Jason?
I think High Point's live to win this game.
Yeah.
And I took it at 9.5, and I'll take it at 8.5, Bone.
BYU, 3.5-point favorites against VCU. They cover that spread.
I like BYU on the money line. I'll say they win by 5, Bone.
That is a bounce back for those at home.
Played pretty good ball down the stretch.
BYU, and say this again, Bone. I'm sorry.
VCU. BYU's 3.5-point favorites.
I'm going to BYU bounce back.
Gonzaga. 5.5-point favorite against Georgia. Ken, Gonzaga covers.
Bounce back.
I got the Zags like grade eight, I think. I think this is the year where nobody's talking about them. They're being slept on. Oh, they're not even the best team in their conference. I like St. Mary's, too. I like the other team out of this conference. Go pretty far.
Do you like them to cover, though?
I have not played this. And I think, you know what, Bone? I think they win this game pretty comfortably.
Okay.
By at least eight. How's that?
I've been looking this up for you, Jason. Old Dominion is not in the CBI.
Not any of these.
CBI, no. I don't think they're in the NIT. So it's
well, I've seen. Have you seen some of these coaches complaining that they got a bid and they didn't respond?
Yeah,
fast
it's like
they
South Alabama or something.
Yank it. Yank a bid from somebody and get the Cowboys not done.
Yeah.
The Cowboys not done giving for us on the basketball court.
Kansas, 4.5-point favorite against Arkansas. Kansas covers. Jason.
I want to get this at more than five, but I like Arkansas here. I think Arkansas is live to win this game.
Boogie Fland is back. I like Arkansas as well. I'm going to fall back.
Okay, fallbacks. UCLA, 5.5-point favorites against Utah State. UCLA covers, Ken.
I'm going to go with the fighting Ian Martinez is here. So I'll fall back. Old friend.
Yeah, I was pretty bullish on UCLA before this weekend. I think Utah State makes this a game. I think this is a one-possession game one way or the other.
And lastly, Michigan, 2.5-point favorite against UC San Diego.
These are not the UC San Diego tridents, because Brick killed a guy with a trident.
Wow.
These are Tritons. But if you look at the mascot and you look at the logo, a Triton looks just like a trident. And I think the Wolverines are getting a trident right in the eyeball.
Jeez.
And a triton right in the other eyeball. I think UCSD wins this game. And I think they win it by more than two possessions.
Wow.
Wins by more than two.
By the way, as a kid, I did love trident gum. When 4 out of 5 dentists surveyed,
yeah,
said that trident helped you with your teeth.
Brick did kill a guy with a trident.
What's that?
Brick did kill a guy with a trident.
Yeah.
Right? An Anchorman. He killed the guy with a trident.
Yes,
in
during
the fight. In the gang
the big
war
fight,
between
yes,
the media
yeah,
guys.
Somehow there was a trident there. Yes. Yes. He did.
There were dudes on fire?
Yeah. And everybody was famous. You have to watch it slowly. I'm going to... He fell back, correct?
Yes.
I'm going to go Beltway Ben's way on this. He does not like this matchup for UC San Diego. Not if I'm wrong there, Beltway Ben. You like...
Yeah. It's San Diego. Yeah, it's San Diego. Yeah.
That's a whale's private parts.
Yes.
I'm going to say bounce back. Michigan wins that game. Coming up next, what about the Ravens' new backup quarterback? His name is Cooper Rush. We'll ask longtime Cowboys beat writer Clarence Hill about it and also ask him what's going on with the Cowboys. Clarence joins us next here on The Fan.